I am really not trying to add to this list. I'm seriously not trying to add to it. But as I continue in it and prepare for the next week, it just brings up more attributes of the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, oh, I've got to say that. I can't leave that out. Thus, the list continues to grow. So I think maybe we're going to be good at 20. And last week, I got through two of them. Today, I'm going to go back to number one. Because as I was considering the next ones and moving on, I just felt that I needed to spend a little more time than I did last week on it. Let me just say this. I am sold on this new way of teaching that I've been doing now for almost 3 years or a couple years. I taught for many, many, many years where basically every week was another message, a new message. And after many years of that, as you all know, I became very disillusioned with what I saw as the lack of fruit. And I felt like, man, I'm pouring my heart into this and the people, you know. And, you know, I saw great growth in my life very quick. I mean, really fast. I just like soared in the Lord for the first couple years. And so I just didn't quite get why that wasn't happening to other people. And I know it happened to some, but as a whole, it wasn't happening to a lot of people. And so anyhow, I ended up learning from another seasoned man of God that he had the exact same frustration, and he came to the revelation that it takes more time on an individual truth for people to get that truth to such a degree that it will change their life. So he no longer is doing 52 messages a year. He's doing two or three. And when he said it, the bells went off in me, and I went, that's it. Coupled with the fact, I mean, first that just sounded right. It made sense to me. And then I thought about my own life. And I realized I spent the entire first year of my life in the Lord meditating on who I was in Christ. Nothing else. That's that sheet, you know, about that I put together. That's all I did. I spent the next entire year studying all the principles on finances in the Bible. That's all I studied for an entire year. And then I moved on to the next one, and I realized that's how I've studied. And it's caused me to soar. So I just want to encourage you with this. It's really not how much truth you can get. It's how much truth gets you. I'm really not just trying to be cute with words. I mean what I just said. It's not how much truth you can get. It's how much truth gets you. That changes your life. So let's just hang out here on number one, because this number one is so powerful. In fact, to kind of prove my point that maybe you haven't really gotten it enough, raise your hand if you can tell me what number one is. Without looking at your notes. Yes, without looking at your notes. Good. Beautiful. Bam. That's it. So that's it. Number one, we're going to spend some more time on it. He is the God that you hear. That's who the Holy Spirit is. He's actually the God that you hear. I mean, that is so precious. That's so incredible. When we think about who the Holy Spirit is to us, you know, when you're talking with someone, they say, you know, I feel like the Lord told me this. What they really just said was, the Holy Spirit told me this. When you say that God told me something, that's the Holy Spirit. And inside, kind of like inside this truth, because in order to prove out this point, what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you some scriptures where it says the Lord said, and then I'm going to show you other scriptures that say who that Lord was and that Lord was the Holy Spirit. Well, there's another powerful truth inside of that truth when we look at the Hebrew of those words. So let's just do that now. I mentioned last week, one example I gave was Isaiah chapter 6, verses 8 through 10, it says that, and what that whole story is Isaiah is literally having a vision. He's caught up in a vision, and he sees and hears great things from the Lord. And the Lord's name that's used there is Adonai. And then in the New Testament, in Acts chapter 28, Paul is talking about it, and he says, the Holy Spirit rightly said through the prophet Isaiah. So he says that was the Holy Spirit that said that. I'm going to drill down a little bit more on Jeremiah. Because I want to say this in all honesty about Isaiah. As I meditated on it, I realized there's a point of debate that could be made about that point that I'm making. And that is in Isaiah, it says, the Lord said to him. The Lord said to him. In Acts, it says, rightly did the Holy Spirit say through Isaiah, blah, 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 and he repeats the same thing. So it could be debated. The Father said something to Isaiah in a vision, and then later he went out and prophesied by the work of the Holy Spirit, and it could be the two parts of the Godhead operating there, right? That could be argued. I don't believe that's the case. I believe the Holy Spirit revealed this, spoke to him, and then he spoke it out by the Holy Spirit. I say that because of the entirety of the Old Testament and the New Testament, as I look at all these examples, that's what's consistent throughout. So I'm going to take Jeremiah, where that little to and through doesn't exist, and it becomes no debate about who's talking. So in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33, we read this. But this is the covenant that I will make with them. Is that too small print, Craig, since you're the furthest back? Can you read that? You can read it, Sherry? Good. Okay. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. Now that word Lord in the Hebrew is Jehovah. I will put my law in their minds. And now Jehovah's talking. I, Jehovah, will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their Elohim. I will be their God. The word there is Elohim. And they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, know Jehovah. The Hebrew word there for Lord is Jehovah. Know Jehovah. For they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, Jehovah. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. So you see here we have Jehovah, Elohim, Jehovah, Jehovah. Those are the words used there, the Lord speaking. And then we pick up in the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 15 and 16. And here Paul, if he is in fact the author of Hebrews, brings up this verse of scriptures, and he says, by the Holy Spirit moving upon him, he pens these words, but the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us. For after he, who's he talking about? Who's he? This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. Let's see, I will witness this. Am I missing something? Verses 15 through 16. Now, I made these slides up, so that's not Louis. Louis just putting up a slide I made. I may have messed that up. I realized by your reaction there was a problem. Thanks for the blank stares. What's that? Yes, exactly. Okay, in chapter 10 of Hebrews, verse 15, it says, and the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he said before, the wording is very strange in the New King James, but it just means, first he said, this, first he said, by the way, he is the Holy Spirit. So, and the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us. First, he, the Holy Spirit, said, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I," the Holy Spirit is talking, "I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds I will write them." Then he adds, "Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." Quotes the exact verse spoken by Jeremiah, which clearly tells us Jehovah and Elohim are the ones saying this. In the New Testament, it clearly tells us the Holy Spirit is the one who said this. This tells us the Holy Spirit is Jehovah. The Holy Spirit is Elohim. Now, I realize right now, just on that alone, those couple verses out of Isaiah and then Acts, which clarifies it's the Holy Spirit, Jeremiah and then Hebrews, which clarifies it was the Holy Spirit, maybe that's not enough. I just want to encourage you. I have 19 more things to go through, and by the end, you will be convinced of what I'm saying here. He is Jehovah. The Holy Spirit is Jehovah. And he is Elohim. And he is Adonai. So let us take a look at some New Testament examples that are just straight out of the New Testament, not old in the New Testament revealing it, but just straight from the New Testament to see that he is the God who speaks to us. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 29, it says this, "Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot." So we're just reading that, but you can just blow right through that and not think, wait a minute, this is the disciple on the earth, this is just a man in the earth, and the Lord is speaking to him, but it says the Holy Spirit said to Philip. So he's hearing God. The same way that if we were there, we would say the Lord spoke to me and said, overtake this chariot. That's the same thing Philip would say. The Lord spoke to me and told me to overtake this chariot. But we have the advantage of the New Testament, which is written out and gives full explanation. And it says, the Holy Spirit said to him. Are you with me? It's the Holy Spirit speaking to the people of God in the earth. Another example, Acts chapter 10, verses 19 and 20. It says, while Peter thought about the vision, do you remember this? He's up on a roof and he falls into a trance and then he's given this vision. It says, while Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Now, if you remember, they had a vision and they had an angel show up to them and they had this great miraculous thing happen to them that caused them to go and seek out Peter. And the Holy Spirit says, I'm the one that sent them. This is the Holy Spirit speaking. It says, the Spirit said to Peter, go with them. And he also says, I sent them. It's the Holy Spirit doing the work. He's putting this whole thing together. Not the Father, not Jesus. The Holy Spirit's the one doing it. He is the God that we hear. Revelation chapter 2, you'll see in verse 7, verse 11, and verse 17, this phrase, he that has an ear, let him hear what the, what? Spirit says to the churches. Who's speaking to the church? The Spirit. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. It's the Holy Spirit who is speaking to us. He's the voice that we're hearing. So who is the Holy Spirit to you and to me? He is the God that we hear. Number two, who is he to us? And I talked about this last week. He brings you into the fullness of God. Now I'm just going to give you two scriptures to show this. I could literally give probably 25, 30 scriptures on this. I'm giving you two, but just consider these. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. I'm talking about the fact that the Holy Spirit is the one who brings you into the fullness of God. That's not a small statement. He's the one who brings you into the fullness of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. You know, I was thinking about something as I was watching You know, I listen to these favorite preachers of mine on TV. I have a couple, you know, four or five that I listen to all the time. And they're exciting, you know, minus one. And you all know who I'm talking about, right? My favorite one. Maybe that's why he's my favorite. I don't know. I was thinking about the fact that these guys are, I'm turning the volume down all the time. And then it hit me just a while back. I'm like, I was like really paying attention to how they're preaching, and I realized they yell. And I know there's someone here in our church, and they're not here today, so I feel a little more comfortable saying it, but they were telling me how they really prefer Joshua's teaching over mine. And they told me, they said, because he yells at us. They said, yeah, exactly. They said, you don't yell at us. He brings us into the fullness of God. Can you feel it? I mean, it is there. I mean, but I'm telling you, it's just not me. There is a time when it was me. I went to the Philippines, and I preached there. And I recognized there, it's an anointing. And I realized that day, the anointing of teaching versus the anointing of preaching. My anointing is to teach. But God put on me an anointing to preach when I was in the Philippines preaching to several hundred pastors. I went there to preach to the lost. That's what I was asked to come to the Philippines to do. And I went there to do that. I mean, months in ahead, I'm prepared to preach to the lost. Sitting in my hotel room on my bed, just meditating, spending time with the Lord, I get a knock on the door by the person who was going to preach to the pastors. And they came in and said, the Lord spoke to me in my prayer time and said, you're speaking to the pastors and you have 1 hour. And I said, I don't think so. I'm preaching to the lost. They said, that you deal with God on that. I know what I heard. They left. And I said, God, do you want me to speak? I'm trying to do this fast. And the Lord said, yes, clear as day. And I went, oh my gosh, I haven't even been a pastor. I'm supposed to preach to several hundred pastors. And I've been prepared for months to talk to the lost. This is crazy. And then I said, God, what am I supposed to tell them? And the Lord said to me, what have I been teaching you for the last year? And it was all about grace. Grace, grace. I went, oh, yeah, you don't even need to be a pastor to teach that. They just need to know this. Pastors need this more than anyone on the planet. Oh, yeah. Well, when I got there and I started to preach, I just came unzipped. I'm yelling. I had a microphone. These guys got so fired up. They were yelling back so much. I was eating the microphone. I had it's the grace of God. I mean, I had to yell to get over their yelling. It was a wild service. It went on for a week. Every time I got, I'd be talking all calmly. And when I get over, in the grace of God, I just would start yelling. It was just on me. I couldn't stop it. I'd get out from under. I'm like, wow. What was that? You know? And I did that for every time I got up there. I thought that was just yesterday. I'd get up the next day. I'd start yelling again. And they would start yelling back, man. It was great. And they came up. When I asked for prayer, they all came up. They filled the whole room. There was a couple hundred people up there. And I went to lay hands on them. And I literally I didn't even have the opportunity to touch one cell on anyone's body. Because when my hand got within about 6 inches of their head, bam, they'd fall straight back on their back. I just went down the line. They were boom, 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 just falling. It was awesome. I'm like, I started running. They were just going boom, 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 boom. And there was no catchers, and it was concrete. Oh, yeah. And I was like, if there's anyone that didn't believe in being slain in the spirit that's in this meeting, they're a believer now. There is no, you know, someone standing behind and laying out. They were just going kablam. No one got hurt. Everyone got up just on fire, lit. Everyone, it was great. So I don't have the preaching anointing on me right now. Yes. Yes. Exactly. So get on your teaching receiving head, hat. Heart, whatever it is, receive it, suit. All right, so he is the God. Who is the Holy Spirit to you? He is the one who brings you into the fullness of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 says this. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit. So we've received this. We've received the spirit who is from God. Why? That we might know the things that have been given to us, that have been freely given to us, mind you, by God. That's who the Holy Spirit is to you and to me. He's here. We've received the Spirit so that we might know the things that have been given to us by God. Now, he's not talking about, I'm going to tell you, it's not things like cars and bikes. It's things like the gift of righteousness. Because we, yes, in his love, we would never be able to really grasp the things that have been given to us by God, like his forgiveness, his grace, his righteousness, apart from the Holy Spirit. It would roll off of us like water off a duck's back. We would not be able to absorb it or get it. The Holy Spirit is here to witness to us, and it's an ongoing thing. Just as you walk through your everyday going about your life, there you don't, it's hard to even realize you it's happening because it's with you. He is with you all the time doing this. But there is an inner witness going on at all times that you are a child of God, that God loves you. And when you sit in the proper teaching, what happens is the teacher is speaking words that are witnessing with what's already being said on the inside, and you go, that's it. I get it. Yes. There's this witness that says, yes, that's true. I get it. You wouldn't be able to do that without the Holy Spirit. He's there to say, that's of me. That's who you are in God. He's here to reveal to us the things that have been freely given to us by God. As you meditate in the Word, it comes alive because he's here to reveal to you the things that have been given to you by God. That's what he does. Number two in this bringing you into the fullness of God is Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. I'm just going to look at 16 and 19 because really everything in between is kind of a parenthetical phrase. But it says this in verse 16 that the Holy Spirit, it says, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit. This is a prayer that Paul is saying. I pray that you would be strengthened with might through his Spirit. His Spirit is the agent that's doing it. The Holy Spirit is the one who strengthens us in our inner man, it says. Why? To know, the next words after through your spirit, it says in your inner man, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. So it's the Holy Spirit who's in us to strengthen us that we would know something. What is it? The love of God, which passes knowledge. He's saying you can't get this with your head. You cannot get the love of God with your head. It'll short circuit. It won't work. You need to be strengthened in your inner man by the Holy Ghost in order to get his love because it's that great. It is awesome. That you and I would be filled with the fullness of God. In other words, the Holy Spirit is necessary in order to comprehend God's love. And to the degree that we comprehend his love, we comprehend God. We have to comprehend his love, and or else we cannot comprehend God. In fact, this is the reason every child of God who has any problem with God has a problem with God. When you find yourself angry with God at all, frustrated with God at all, blaming God for anything, it is all due to a lack of comprehension of his love. That's all. I mean, that's the whole reason. There's no other reason. Absolutely, because God is love. And the way that he does things is through love, by love, motivated by love. Everything he does is motivated by love. Amen. Here I am, just one example, for whatever it's worth to you. You know, I have gone decade after decade wishing to be married, wishing I had a wife. Don't have one, still. That would be a real easy place for me to go, God, where are you in this? I mean, hello, did you forget about me? You know, I don't go there at all. Even though I cannot explain to you, you know, what the hang-up is. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's God's timing. Maybe it's her. I don't know. What I do know is God's part is perfect. Amen. Perfect. Not one, it's not tilted, not 1 degree bad to the left or to the right. It's perfect. His part's perfect. Another way, I could just say it this way. This is a phenomenal revelation to have in your life. God is never the problem. Ever, 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 ever. Yes. God is never the problem. Ever. I don't care what you're dealing with in your life. It does not matter. I'm going to say it a little softer because this is kind of a heavy one. I don't want to say it doesn't matter. It does not matter if the person you love more than anyone else on the planet just got killed right in front of your eyes. It doesn't matter if your child just died. It doesn't matter if you were just diagnosed with cancer. It doesn't matter if all hell breaks loose in your life or someone else that you love in their life. It does not matter what's happening. God is not the problem. He's not the problem. How many people have fallen away from their relationship with God because they didn't understand that? And they blame God for their husband that died of cancer, or their wife that died of cancer, or their child that was killed in a car wreck, or, and the list goes on. If we allow the Holy Spirit to be to us who He's supposed to be to us, where He would strengthen us with might on the inside so that we could comprehend the love of God, which surpasses understanding, we would be filled with an understanding of Him, and we would know, okay, you're not the problem. So what is the problem? You both named two of the biggest ones, Satan and unbelief. Exactly right. Sometimes it's the devil, sometimes it's our unbelief. And there's other things, but it's never God. His way is perfect, His way is right, His way is good. You talk about excellence. Remember I said excellence makes the way. Excellence removes all bad, making the way for more good. If excellence is, you know, like I said, you know, I talked about like having a house full of kids and having your house still in order, you could say, yeah, man, if you just cracked a whip, I mean, anyone can do that. No. Anything that isn't bringing good, I don't care if you call it excellence, it's facading as excellence, but it's not excellence. True excellence will have kids in order in the house, and the kids will be just absolutely the happiest kids on the planet. When excellence is brought to it, the kids are behaved and they're happy, they're emotionally balanced and well. I'm telling you what, I can identify homeschooled kids like that. Not to get off on track and preach about homeschooling, but homeschooling is so incredible. I can tell a homeschooled kid in a second, maybe 20 seconds. Give me 20 seconds, I'll be able to tell you a child has been homeschooled. There's a emotional stability about them. There was a lack of trying to prove themselves to the world, trying to be cool. I mean, there's just, There is a rest. Yeah, and when they're with their parents, they just love their parents. They just love their parents. No games about it. I just, you know, they'll hold on to their parents. They love, they laugh with their parents. You know, they don't do all this. You know, it's just, that's just a taste of excellence. There's an excellence about it. And, you know, a child can go off to a school and get really good results as well if the school is done with excellence, but there's just nothing like that level of excellence of being with the parent and being taught by the parent. It's just one of a myriad of examples of excellence and what it produces. It produces good, you know? When a child is disciplined correctly, the nonsense goes away and the child isn't feeling less loved by the parent. I'm telling you, it works. The child will feel more loved, not less. The child will want to hug the parent more often, not less. The child will feel safe because they realize who's boss in the house. A child will push because they want to know, listen, are you in charge or am I? And they want to find out, and they're really hoping that you are. They really are. It's just something in them that says, I need to know, are you in control or am I? And they're scared to death that they are. But they're going to push to find out. And when you make it clear that you are in a loving, consistent manner, properly done, the child will be like, oh, yes, I love you, Mommy. I love you, Daddy. And they'll just love you because they feel safe. Well, I got through the same two I got through last week. Yes. So he will bring you into the fullness of God, and we need to be brought into the fullness of God because the fullness of God means we comprehend his love. If we comprehend God's love, so much confusion that we have in life just goes away. We're like, okay, God's not the problem, so apparently I'm thinking wrong about this, or the devil's at work here, or whatever, but it's not God. God's with me. He's for me. He's all about it. And your faith will soar. She'll be like, I can do anything because Papa's with me and he loves me. He thinks I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread. He's got my picture in his wallet. He's got me carved in his hand. My picture's on the refrigerator. What's that? He shows me to all his friends. Exactly. He loves me. And so then, I mean, literally prayer becomes just a joy. Because he loves me. He's listening to me. He's like waiting to hear what I have to say because he wants to do things for me because he loves me so much. I remember that experience I talked about last week and I got caught up in that car. I had an out-of-body experience while driving to Florida. What I knew that moment, I knew without zero, I mean, you talk about like the gift of faith that comes as one of the gifts. It was like, I mean, I had all the gifts at that point. I could have prophesied, raise people from the dead. You know, I mean, I was just, what I knew in that moment was God will do anything for me. Papa will do anything for me, through me, with me. I mean, it's God and Son. I can do anything. It's the lack of understanding of his love, we have fear. To the degree we have fear, we don't understand his love. That sounds like a verse, doesn't it? Perfect love does what?
Casts out fear.
That's what it does. It brings lots of nasty things, none of which are of God. The Holy Spirit, who is he to you? He's the one that brings you in to the comprehension of his love, and it takes him to do it because it's beyond comprehension. Beyond the ability for the mind to comprehend it. Your mind, when you and I understand, start to get how much he loves us, our mind goes tilt. This is just one picture of love. One picture. On the cross, giving his life for you. That's just one taste of it. It's beyond comprehension. The one who created you and me allowed himself to be chained to a post, to be whipped, and have his back whipped so bad that it tore it off to the point where you could see his rib cage. The one who created us allowed his beard to be ripped out of his face. Chunks of his face coming out. The one who created you and me allowed the ones that he created to put thorns on his head and beat it with a branch to drive the thorns into his head. The one that he created, he let them do that to him. When he was in the garden and they came to take him and Peter took a sword to cut off an ear, he said, Peter, don't you know I could call for my servants, the angels who I created. Right now, they'll take care of business. Let it go. He gave him. He said, no one takes my life. I lay it down and I can pick it back up again. He let his creation beat him. For us. His love is beyond comprehension. It takes the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit to you? He's the God that speaks to you, and he's the one that enables you and me to comprehend the love of God. We have to have the Holy Spirit to do it because it's beyond comprehension. Yes. This will be online. You mean in physical form?
Yeah, I would like to just stick that, what you're saying, in my all my neighbors' mailbox.
Oh, yes. You could probably talk to our sound guy about that. Well, we got through the same first two that we did last week. What's that? Yes, exactly. Because it's not how much truth we get. It's how much truth gets us. So we stay here until it gets us, until it comprehends us. Apprehends us, that's what I meant. It apprehends us. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. I think I will just continue in that. I think that's the Lord just wanting to bring it into everything. I told you last week I was going to tell you a story about Odidi. Do you remember? It's just a simple little thing, but it's the Holy Spirit. I walked into a store for the first time. Actually, it was the second time. And the first time I didn't eat. I just walked in to see it, because I'd heard about this new place and I'd just eaten, so I didn't need to eat, but it was right next to the place I just ate. So I thought, oh, that's that new place. I went in there and I looked and I talked to someone there. And then I came back a couple months later and I walked in. I'm in line. There's, you know, a couple people in front of me. And I looked over at the patrons eating in the place. And there was this one guy over there by himself eating. And I just immediately, there was just something on him or on me that said, I need to talk to him. I mean, it was so strong, I considered leaving the line to go talk to him. But then I was like, I don't know what I'm going to say. And this whole thing could be really silly. So, you know how you do that. You just kind of, and I was like, man, I need to talk to that guy. And I started, it was strong enough that I thought, it's the Holy Spirit. I recognize this. It's the Holy Spirit. Okay, maybe he's going to give me something to say. So I went in the line. I went through the line. And occasionally I'd look over at him. He's just by himself, just eating. And nothing. I wasn't getting anything particular to say to him. So I kind of had it in my mind, I'm just going to go say hi to him and let the Holy Spirit take it from there. But I'm at the register, and I asked the lady a question at the register, and she didn't know the answer to it. And then she kind of, you know, looked, leaned aside to get around me, and she said, hey, Odidi, I can't remember what the whole thing was about, but she got his attention to talk to me, and I turned around, and it was him. So he got up to say hi to me, and then I was still getting my stuff together, and then we found out that my nephew was talking to his boss 2 days earlier, and then one day earlier, the day before, his boss was talking to him about me. And so I just mentioned something. He goes, wait a minute. Are you, you're Joshua's uncle? And I said, yeah. And he goes, oh my gosh. My boss was just talking about you yesterday. You got, come here, man. You got to sit with me. So he invites me over to sit down. And so, and we ended up just, we hit it off so strong. And he, I mean, I so loved the few minutes that I had with him. It was so beautiful and so anointed. He was talking, I said, so you live here? And he says, no, I'm actually, I live in Georgia, but I fly up here and I'm, because I'm working with my boss. And so he was, and I said, well, where do you stay? He said, I'm staying in a hotel. And I literally had to fight the words to come out of my mouth. And I was going to say, move in with me, man. I don't even know the guy. I met him for like 20 seconds. I wanted to ask him to move in with me. I'm like, dude, just stay with me. You can live with me. You know, until he gets his own place or whatever. And I just, I was like, logic was going, that would be so stupid, Brad. You don't even know the guy. But I mean, it took everything for me to not say that. I even told my friend Kat about later. I was like, really? I just wanted to ask him to just stay with me, you know? So anyhow, that's Odidi. That's my story about Odidi. The Holy Spirit had it on me to talk to him. And then he got up and talked to me. And then, and now here he is. So it was really cool. And he's a precious brother in the Lord, man. Just good, good. And his boss, who owns a number of stores, very wealthy man, owns a couple hundred stores, is an on fire child of God. Isn't that awesome? Praise God. In the store they've recently opened, he said a major piece of it is they consider it a ministry to people. And he said that's one of the main reasons he's there, because it's a ministry to people. And I won't go into all that. But anyhow, so I wanted to tell you that story about Odidi and the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit caused us to come together. Love you all. Have a beautiful week. Let me pray a blessing over you. Father God, I pray a blessing over everyone at the sound of my voice right now, Father, that your hand would be upon them in a beautiful way throughout this week, such that they would comprehend more by your Spirit your love for us. Oh Lord, that we would have another level of understanding of how great your love is for us. Father, we would no longer be like babes who blame you and get angry with you, but we would be like mature children who've come to understand how much you love us, that you are never the problem. And that you are always the answer. You're the answer. Father, I pray for a deepening of our understanding of your love for us right now to everyone, myself included, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Be blessed. See you next week. And we might get through a couple more.